So April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, Financial Literacy Month, Foot Health Awareness Month. How's everybody's feet? You got to
Feet
watch
are
your feet.
good.
Your feet are
Feet are
good?
good. My driving and financial literacy are another story.
Irritable Bowel Syndrome Awareness Month.
Oh.
Lawn and Garden Month, Mathematics Awareness Month. I think we are aware of math.
Right. Painfully aware for some of us.
Mathematics Awareness Month should have been March because you have Pi Day, which was March 14th. Anyway, I bring up all these months because really it's draft month.
I was going to say,
We're
that's not the most
in
important
draft
one.
season, baby.
Yes, we started.
The
Yes, we are.
Steelers, we have no idea what they'll do, but at some point between now and September, they better pick up a damn center. I'm getting a little worried. Where's the damn center? I want a center.
I don't want to hear any more conversations about James Daniels being the center next season.
Oh,
Like, I
God.
refuse to acknowledge that. I don't care, like, who Mark Cuomo, whoever thinks he could do it. I don't care. I don't want to hear it anymore.
No, and I mean, I actually, Joe and I talked about this last week. If they can't get another veteran guy in, I think you could see them bring in a guy. They may bring Mason Cole back as a backup, but make no mistake, I don't think Mason Cole's the intended guy. I think that they will draft one. And there's a decent crop of centers. And last year, the first center didn't go off the board till the 46th pick, right? So they have the 20th and 51st in the first two rounds. And I think they feel. They've had a strong presence at JPJ in Oregon, and that's rare because Mike Tomlin crew don't like to go west of the Mississippi, but they did for him. They've been with Zach Frazier numerous times from WVU, and they really like the Graham Barton kid out of Duke, who they went to see twice, right? So I think they're doing that. I think that's showing their cards a little bit, as anybody team does, but I think they're looking at that like, well, if we go somewhere else in the first round, where are our rankings for these three centers at least? And then the other kid is the Van Pran kid from Georgia, so who also they went once to his day. So they obviously are scouting the heck out of these centers. They're gonna pick a center. It's just a matter of where.
Of where they
That's
think those
my.
guys are going to go. Yeah, I agree. The interesting thing is, and you brought that up, is that they don't usually take guys from the West Coast. The last one was DeCastro in whatever early 2000 year that was. I can't remember off the top of my head. And so they don't do that traditionally. And originally, when a lot of this draft talk is the college season was wrapping up and all of the experts were talking about the draft this year, there was this prediction that it was going to be historic draft year with three centers going in the first round for like the first time ever in history. And that, Jackson Powers Johnson is going to go like 11th overall or something crazy, way low. And slowly, like those numbers have backed up and backed off a little bit. Now all of a sudden you hear maybe some of them will be in the second round. You hear a little bit about JPJ, maybe not being, maybe the media overinflating that as opposed to really what the actual scouts think. Do you know what I mean? That they don't think he's going to go at like such an early draft position. So I think it's interesting. I think, obviously, the organization has a pretty good idea, I would assume, on where they think these guys are going to fall and how they can feel like they can work it out. Because I think the only one that would really be worth going after with the 20 pick, from what I've seen, is Powers Johnson. And otherwise, I think I would want to move into the second round and look at one of the other guys. But then there's a concern: will they still be there by the time you get to your second pick? Like, you don't want
That's
to
the
reach.
thing. Right.
That's the
Right.
thing. You're playing with fire here,
You
folks.
are.
You're saying, okay, you could, because the conventional wisdom says you don't draft a center in the first round. You don't draft a center or a running back or one of these positions that are like a low value that you could pick up elsewhere or in a later round. You get
But is
a
he like the next Maurkice Pouncey? Do you know what I mean? Like, is
There you
he?
go. There you go. And that's the thing. It's, this is supposed to be a draft that is high in tackles, and tackles are very valuable. So do you forgo one of the awesome tackles to get an awesome center. Now, from what I understand, this JPJ might be good, but I don't know if he's like Marquise Pouncey good.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
If he's not, then they should wait. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's not, then they should wait. And like the thing about Graham Barton that I keep hearing is that he's not going to be like starter ready. Do you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't spent that much time as a center, so he's going to need some time to develop. So if that's the case, then who is our starting center while we wait for this kid to develop? And then do we wind up screwing his whole career when that person stinks and we start him too soon? You know what I mean? Not everybody can handle the Joey Porter Jr. pressure of starting early.
Yeah, that phrase always gets me a little worried when people anointed somebody that way or tagged him that way. The same people are saying the same thing about Amarius Mims, who a lot of the experts have him going to the Steelers right there, right? And you know, they said, well, but he has tremendous upside, right? Upside after we get him. And that's kind of what – are they sitting there saying, well, we can develop him? Or are they saying, no, we want a player ready now? Because if that's the way that the tackle position is going to go, maybe Mims isn't going to be the guy. And you're right, Joe. I looked today, and I looked at three places, ESPN. I looked at The Athletic, and I looked at Pro Football Forecast, our friends over there, just for fun. All three – had 10 offensive tackles in the top 60 overall players. So to Leanne's point too, there's a lot of guys out there. And now they're all kind of over the place, right? They have a lot of these guys that could fall to the Steelers. You know, even the Fashanu kid from Penn State could end up there. You could have Talese Fuaga. You know, it sounds like a Monday Night Raw lineup with all these guys from the Samoan Islands.
Well, yeah,
you know?
We
have to have, what was his name? William Regal come out and call. Remember how he used to say Umaga's name wrong? Umaga?
Umaga,
he would call him Umaga. But but Talese Fuaga, another guy on the West Coast of Oregon State, he's looking very fast rising in this draft. So who knows? And I think Joe called that last week. I tend to agree with Joe. I think it's probably going to be a tackle because I think they feel they can get their center the next time around. The only thing that throws us all into whack is wide receiver, right? So Ayuk was again brought up this afternoon. They said that the two of the still interested teams are the Chiefs and the Steelers. And I guess the 49ers aren't feeling real keen about giving them to the Chiefs. So, but I just I just don't think he is worth a first or even a second round pick. And I think if the Steelers gave away one of those two, I think that kind of puts us in jeopardy. I think they really got to hold on.
I just don't see the Steelers doing that. I just don't see them doing that.
They got burned on Devin Bush.
Yeah.
I just don't see them going that way.
We're also cocky about our ability to develop wide receivers. You know what I mean? It's something that we have a lot of pride in. So why would we?
It doesn't always. Yeah. And it doesn't always work.
No, of course not. But I think it works more than it doesn't. I think the other thing that throws a monkey wrench in the whole picking a center thing is the possibility that they could pick a cornerback if Kool McKinstry falls to the Steelers. You know, he and Ike Taylor and Terrion Arnold and the other guy, the really good linebacker, all went out to dinner. And, you know, supposedly Ike Taylor said it was like the best night of his life listening to these guys cut up. He said Terrion Arnold and Mike Tomlin were like holding court. He said Terrion's like this, your favorite uncle that always has a story to tell. And they had so much fun. And then you watch these kids, you know, play and the amount of talent they have, you know. So there is, I don't know that Terrion Arnold would be there. You know, if one of them would be there or not, but there's a possibility. Cooper
DeJean from Iowa. I mean, if he falls there, you know, so that's the other thing. I think we've learned this offseason, guys, expect the unexpected. I don't think anything we think is going to happen.
It's like Big Brother.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think Joe's an expert on Joe. Joe's like the biggest Big Brother fan ever.
I love Big Brother.
We need Chen on the Steelers staff. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Doing the draft night for the Steelers. But wait, there's
more. First. Yeah. First.
No, I think what will happen, that's what we all do. We do all this thing.
Yeah.
Right? Unless something happens major here with an acquisition in the next couple weeks, I think it's really what are they doing, center or tackle. But there's that wild card of a wide receiver or a cornerback, which wouldn't shock me, but it would surprise me a little. Because I feel like I feel a smart play is addressing your line. I just feel like that's a smart play to do.
First of all, I want Kool-Aid because if we draft him, I'm just going to go crazy every time he does. I'm going to be, oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You're good. Oh, and now, like when he comes out of it, when they introduce the star, they can make like a fake wall for him. So he could crash through. It's like, oh, yeah.
For him to run through. I know. Like
instead of the Heinz red zone, it could be the Kool-Aid cherry
zone or something.
But, I mean, you have to, yes, cornerback is a need. But the thing is, if you have a chance to get a tackle, do you look at the situation and say, is Dan Moore good enough? First of all, Dan Moore, I think this is his last year or something like that.
Yeah. Last year was a rookie contract, right?
But you know, and Tomlin has said that they want to get their bigs. They want to have a big, you know, they want goons or something on the offensive line. You have Arthur Smith, who is a heavy run heavy offensive coordinator. Well, what have they done so far to fortify that line? Nothing. So you
know, because they're saving it for the draft.
Exactly. They're saving it for the draft. I'm doing a mock draft right now. And as the Steelers turn at 20, and here's who's available: Troy Fatanu, that offensive tackle from Washington, JC Latham from Alabama, Byron Murphy, that defensive tackle from Texas, Jackson Power Johnson, and Kool-Aid is available, and so is Cooper DeJean. So from those, who should I take?
Yeah, J.C. Latham. I'm not sure why he's fallen recently. And I don't
think what's up with that? He's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, but I think that's like Leanne was saying. Now it's like they had all these guys, and now these guys are like, boom, top 10 in the 60. And now it's like a big, you know, hodgepodge where I think they're throwing darts as who's going to go where. But J.C. Latham's hard to turn down. He's more of the ready-go player. Unlike Mims, he's ready to go. So, man, that'd be amazing if they could get him.
Now this Mims was taken, but Mims.
I'd take Kool-Aid and then pick up the center with the second pick.
Okay.
If they don't really think, if they believe truly that Jackson Powers Johnson, and they know better than I do, if you really believe that this kid is this generational talent, this Marquise Pouncey type, then you take him. But if you think he's only like, you know, a hair better than a Zach Frazier or somebody like that, then why would you waste your first round pick on him?
And I think that's what they have to be thinking, because Zach Frazier's a guy that kind of, not for me, because I got to see him play so much this year. Like actually physically watch him play.
Yeah.
I thought he's been stud since, but he's been doing very well in the player interviews. The Bengals love him. The Steelers really like him. I think
he broke his leg, right? He's the one that broke his leg.
Yeah.
So
he still did the drills.
But like even in like I told Joe last week, and it's not the best thing, but there's times in that Pitt game where he was the best player on the field. And then there was times against the Penn State where he was also the best lineman on the field for sure, you know, and you could see it. So, and it's just, I think he was kind of a kept secret that's really blossomed late, and his star's rising. I don't think he'll go in the first round. I don't think the Bengals are in the same boat as the Steelers, guys. They need to address the line. So
in this mock draft, so I took J.C. Latham the first round.
Okay.
So Zach Frazier went 33rd. The first pick of the second round.
See, that's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
See? Where did Jackson in this Jackson Powers Johnson went 24th to the Cowboys in this draft.
You see, here's the thing. If you believe Dan Moore is serviceable, which all these supposed like insiders keep saying, the Steelers love him so much, they have all this faith in him, you know, and all of these things that they believe in him. If you really believe that, then you have to take a center. Do you know what I mean? You can't chance not having a center. You have to take a center. But my question is do we love Dan Moore so much that you're going to continue to play Broderick Jones like out of his position? That's what I have a hard time with him, is that he's not versatile. And you heard Omar Khan say, as we headed into the offseason, they are valuing, you know, flexibility on the offensive line above all else. And then I don't understand how we love Dan Moore fits with that narrative.
Which is why I tend to agree with you. three trips to see Graham Barton and talk to him, watch him play his pro day. And then they Cedric Van Pran, who's probably like the going right now, like the third or fourth guy. There's some people that say he's the best center in the draft, but he's just underdeveloped. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe you're right. You know, if that goes the way Joe's saying with Frazier going there and those two are left, the Steelers may be saying, okay, we know we're going tackle. So what's going to happen with the centers? And that's why they're doing as much as they're doing.
Well, in this thing, now the Steelers are up at 51 and the best center available is that Cedric Van Pran Granger. I don't want them because that's a stupid name. They better you better do something with that name. Let's call him a nickname or something like that. That's just a dumb name. Like
SVP. Like Rob Van Pelt.
Thank you. SVP sounds great. Scott Van Pelt. There you go. Scott Van Pelt. We're drafting Scott Van Pelt. But that's the risk you take. And you and we talked about this last week. It might end up they go back with their old Mason Cole.
God, I just can't. I can't.
I don't think any of us can.
I mean, I would seriously.
I can't either, but I still wouldn't be surprised just because.
Okay, so at that point, would you be more willing to see them put Daniels there or Herbig there and just take a chance on him than bring Cole back as the starter? Because I would.
You can't. You can't. He was exposed as not being good at his job. He sucks at center. So the only way you bring out Mason Cole is like as a guard or something. Yeah, you switch Daniels around and you screw up the whole line.
It's like the kid from Illinois that we drafted a couple years ago. He was just a train wreck at center. Why is his name escaping me?
Kendrick Green?
Who was that?
Kendrick Green?
Yeah.
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 Kendrick Green.
Who was a guy who at Illinois, he was a stud guard, you know, for years.
Right.
Then they switched him to center senior year, and he does a pretty good job. So everyone thought, okay, well, he can play center. No, he just couldn't play center.
They knew he couldn't, and they threw him into that way too soon. Like, so, I've always – the Steelers screwed him up. Do you know what I mean? He shouldn't have been in starting that soon. He wasn't ready.
To me, I think I'm with Leanne. If JPJ's there 20, I'd like to see him get him. If he's not and they go with a tackle, I'm great with it, but I'm just curious who that second-round pick's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't, again, just the, I wouldn't be surprised. This is going to be a term we just overkill in this podcast and for the next couple of weeks, but you know, it wouldn't kill me. I wouldn't surprise if they went for the wide receiver. Now we're looking at round three at pick 84 for a center.
Right.
You know,
there were some wide receivers available. Yeah.
Right. And it's pretty deep wide receiver too. So it's going to be so much fun just because it's such a chess game. You know, we know what their needs are better than outside of the city, right? Like anyone that covers the Steelers, whatever, you know what they are. Somebody, you know, sitting in Seattle, Seahawks probably could give a damn about the Steelers, but it still wouldn't surprise me to see King Khan throw a loop in there and draft the wide receiver in the first round.
Make a trade. Trade up.
Yeah,
trade,
I think a trade up is a possibility, but I don't think they're going to trade up by much. I think sort of like they did with Broderick Jones. You know what I mean? I think we're gun shy about the big trade up where you give away all this stuff like we did for
Devin Bush,
because we have too many needs. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we need to go get one player and we can afford to lose some draft picks, you know, and then we'll be Super Bowl ready. We have a lot of needs. We can't afford to give up draft picks.
That's what I'm worried about. That they'll want to trade up Leanne and they'll dangle one of those third round picks out there as, you know, since they have two of them is one of the ways to move up. So I don't know. Now, if you see, like you said, if you see centers start flying off the board, they might go, oh, shit.
You might have to.
Right.
You know, that's what makes it so much fun. So, yeah, who knows? I mean, to anyone who thought that Fashanu would be there from Penn State, and it's likely he could be, it's just shocking because, like, you know, he gave up his junior year. They had him going number three last year in the NFL draft.
Right.
And he decided to go back to Penn State for senior year. He still has only allowed a half a sack in his entire collegiate career, which is over 4 years. So, but he's kind of lost in the shuffle now with all these other guys like Joe Alt and Latham and Mims and the whole crew. And so who knows? He might end up being there.
Yeah. Yeah. That Mims is so intriguing and yet so risky. I mean,
I keep telling myself, like, do I want him because he and Broderick Jones played so well together? And I just, like, I'm romanticizing the idea of having these two Georgia bookends, even though I'm not a Bulldog fan. Like, what is this? You know what I mean? Is it really his play? And I think that some people are getting carried away with that. You know what I mean? The idea, you know, just like it was with Alabama for years, like playing for Georgia elevates your draft stock automatically. And some of these guys that even haven't played that many games are worth more because they went to Georgia.
Well, an SVP played at Georgia too.
He was a center for Georgia. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, he's another one that's kind of elevated, like his draft stock elevated.
6'7", 340 this Amarian Mims. But the problem is he's hardly played because one thing, I think he was behind Broderick Jones. The other thing is he got hurt. It's like, and now he's hurt too. He's hurt now. Yeah. Like, that's so risky. But if it works out, he's a mountain. He's like I don't know. It's just so it's a sexy pick. If a tackle could be sexy, that's a sexy pick.
Yeah.
We'll see if he even gets to him. I'm sure he'll probably go to the Jets or some stupid thing like that, but they'll ruin him.
And ball out and be ruined, one or the other.
Now the rumor is, there's a little bit of rumor out there that the Steelers are going to bring in the kid from Miami, the Dolphins, as a center there. And, you know, that could be in play. Now, I would say
– See the guy that was hurt?
Yeah, he had the ACL, but I swear to gosh, I mean – anymore, it's like a badge of honor. Like, did you have an ACL too? Yeah, I had mine. You had yours? Yeah. It's like all of them have ACL issues because our bodies, not to be a doctor here, but our bodies are not meant to be, you know, 328 pounds or 330 pounds at a 6 foot frame or a 5 foot 10 frame moving around like they do. And yeah. So now if they were to bring him, that changes everything. And I just wouldn't put it past the Steelers at this point to do that. So by the next time we do this, Joe, we may have a new center from the Miami Dolphins. I don't know. It makes it fun. It makes it kind of crazy too, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's only two free agents left out there. And, you know, originally when that last one, I forget which one it was, Dallas's or whatever, got signed, then they were like, you know, no free agent centers that make sense for the Steelers. And then 2 days later, it's like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
We got to talk about something. Maybe this guy from Miami.
See, we're so used to the Kevin Colbert way of doing things, which was everybody. I don't care who it is, but we'll have all the positions already set for the draft. And then whatever happens in the draft, you know, we'll get the best player available. Yeah. And, you know, maybe they'll play, maybe they won't, whatever. But this not having a complete team is just crazy. It's weird. It's
weird, but it's also like so awesome. It makes me like tingly, like to have Patrick Queen, like to have a free agency signing that big. I'm like, who are you? Whose team is this?
Yeah.
Like they feel like I'm a Yankees fan or something. Like, how do we get all this money?
Right. This isn't what we do. What are we doing here?
We usually get our guys at like games.
That's right. That's right. We got him at Nordstrom.
Right.
Yep. We're gonna go up to Hills and that, and get ourselves.
We usually get them at Hills on clearance.
Arm is longer than the other.
And then we pick up a popcorn and.
Yep.
Right. Get our guy, and like one arm is longer than the other, and the neck's all stretched out funny.
Right.
But he was very cute.
He'll do.
I mean. And I think it probably was Joe. Oh, and Allison, I think, did that podcast with us too. And maybe I need to be more on board with it. But, you know, I said, I think Deontay Johnson's gone. And those two, you guys said, Joe, well, okay, he might be. We don't think that's going to happen. And here's why, blah, blah, blah. It did happen. But I think we were all right because you and Allison saying, here's why. The why is correct. They still now have a gaping hole wide receiver, right? And that throws a big, you know, turnabout in this too, guys, is that's also a glaring issue. I mean, right now what you have is it's okay, but it's you put yourself in a position where you need another wide receiver. It's not like, hey, by chance, if someone comes along in the fifth or sixth round, we can grab one. No, it's we need to grab a wide receiver too. So yeah, it's doing that.
I think I'm second still or third round.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Arthur Smith's just not going to utilize that many wide receivers that we need to have all these like top tier, do you know what I mean,
right,
guys? If they believe Pickens fits into his system, I think Pickens is going to pretty clearly be the guy, which is part of why when everybody kept talking about Ayuk coming to the Steelers, that I had a hard time imagining that happen, because he's not going to take a backseat to George Pickens. Do you know what I mean? And I just, you know, I feel like George is there. Like they've kind of made him the number one guy. And, you know, I understand you have to win your spot and all of those things, but I think the Steelers are finally doing something that they've said for years. And look, I don't know if it's Mike Tomlin, if it's Colbert. It makes me feel like it must have been Colbert to some degree in letting people go. Do you know what I mean? This, you know, he's always said this volunteers and not hostages garbage. And then we still got the hostages on the team the next year, you know, throwing fits. And you know me, I'm not as much a complainer about those things as a lot of people are, where they're really like angry at George Pickens and Deontay. I don't feel all that way, but I don't want somebody on our team that gives any indication of not wanting to be there, because I think it's cancerous. And I think we saw that with Kenny Pickett when he immediately had that snarky answer about how he didn't learn anything from Mason Rudolph. And then you let him stay and stomp his feet and throw a temper tantrum. And then I think, you know, we continued to have that with Deontay. And I think he was like the bad kid in class that pulls somebody else down, you know, and so he was kind of dragging Pickens down with him. So the fact that they're willing to just like let people go left and right, to me, is mind blowing. I think it totally changes the culture of the team in a good way. So if you get a receiver in the second or third round and you help instill some leadership in Pickens, that you're going to train this kid up in the Steeler way, and you know, you're going to be a leader, I think he can do it. That kid had some leadership skills.
I feel like the turning point, if this season is successful and the coming seasons after that, come the Jesus meeting, it seemed to be between Rooney, Khan, and Tomlin, may have been a turning point. I have to wonder at that meeting, Leanne, to your point, he may have said, I want the cancers gone. You know who they are. Don't protect them. And that was one of them. And I think it goes back to also Leanne. He's there in the locker room on the last day, a clean out day, saying, well, Mason Rudolph was my quarterback. I mean, who says that? I mean, the audacity to say that. Plus, some of the things he did on the field made it very easy. And that's why I felt like just the way it was going, they're cleaning house. If you're not with us, you're not for us, you're gone.
And I wonder if he said he wanted to go and they gave him indicators that they weren't willing to let him go. And he was like, well, I'll tie your hands. Do you know what I mean? And I'm going to hold, you know what I mean? If Mason's not the quarterback, you know, it starts escalating, because you do see his behavior kind of escalate there at the end. And so I wonder, you know, if he didn't do that. But I love that we sent him to Carolina. Like, he wanted to change.
Right, yeah. You're sending you to the worst possible place. Right. How do you like that? Right. I wonder what was the next step in, like, if for him to antagonize the Steelers to get him to trade him. Like saying, I don't like fried sandwiches or something like that. I don't know what. Mr. Rogers is a punk or something like that. Like, I don't know what you would say to really, really piss off. I like Hunt's ketchup. That's it. I prefer Hunt's ketchup. Like, that's it. Well, get out of here right now.
That's it. It's the last straw.
Right. Yeah.
Wonder if, let's say they draft it's highly unlikely they're getting Brandon Ayuk, but let's say they draft a wide receiver in the first round or something like that. How's Pickens going to take that? You know, Leanne, you mentioned that the Steelers are like the wide receiver development organization. They're so good at it. Maybe we figured, we don't need to pay. We don't need to pay you, you know, when your rookie contract's up, we'll just go draft someone else. And maybe they'll just keep that going. I don't know. This could get interesting. Because, I mean, right now you got Pickens, Van Jefferson, and Quez Watkins as your wide and Austin as your wide receivers. It's not exactly striking fear in anyone. So
no,
you know, what if they draft the next George Pickens or something in the first or second round, and it's like, oh, we're all going gaga over him.
It like I said, nothing would surprise me at this point. After these last few weeks, I don't think it will happen. I really do think they'll go with a lineman or maybe a defensive back. I think the defensive
back. I'd be shocked if they did one in the first round. Yeah. I mean, unless like one of the top two guys like fell way down to us. And it just doesn't make sense. That would have to be the case. Yeah.
I think there's more of a propensity for them to take a defensive back over wide receiver with that first pick, which would also probably be unforeseen, but not impossible. So, yeah. And then, you know, Tyler Boyd's still out there. There are still a few free agent wide receivers out there that they can at least – the wide receiver free agents that are out there are a little bit better than the centers and tackles. So, yeah.
I still just think that it's not their forte. I mean, you know, look, everything else they've done this year would have not been things I had on my bingo card, you know, at the end of the season. So, you know, a lot of things have happened that I didn't expect, but they're just so adamant about how good they are at picking these, you know, early mid-round receivers up, second, third, fourth round, and doing something with them. Do you know what I mean? And I think they really believe that Pickens is serviceable and as a starting wide receiver, you know, in this new offense. And so I can't imagine them drafting one in the first round, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's a weird year.
The other thing too is if they don't bring in a free agent at all, any level, I think center's still where they're going to go because they don't have one, right? I mean,
there's not others to pick up. It's not like there's all these centers that you can go grab.
Right. So maybe because those tackles are so deep, they feel like they can get down on a swing pick. But that's where I think Joe and I respectfully I disagree. I think they're still going to go center, but I'm with Joe saying defensive tackle or offensive tackle, he could be 100% correct too.
Well,
I think it all depends on what they really think is going to happen with those Zach Frazier and those guys, like where they really think they'll land, you know, with an educated guess. If you think you've got a solid shot at the second round, then I think they'd take a top tackle. If not, I feel like it would be flipped the other way around because there's so many tackles.
Yeah.
One thing the Steelers don't do is they don't try to hide what they're doing in the draft. They make it very obvious. So I remember the Najee Harris year. That was like the most boring thing ever because like we all knew it was happening. So
as people are out there going, they're never going to pick a running back with their first round pick. I'm like, okay, they're telling you they are
right. They you pretty much know what's going to happen. So
yeah, but I think you look at some stuff too, guys. Like the Kenny Pickett thing, right? They chose Kenny Pickett. That obviously has not worked out, despite what anyone says. He may go on to be a stellar quarterback somewhere in Philadelphia. I don't think it'll happen. Maybe it will. I doubt it. But, I mean, the guy they could have had would have been Creed. You know, he's been phenomenal in Kansas City, arguably maybe one of the two or three best centers in the league.
Yeah.
So I think that's something they look at saying, you know, this JPJ kid, he's right in there, you know, and that's – we're not going to miss again.
I do think they try always to learn from those mistakes, but like every football team's history is riddled with the, who I could have picked, Tom Brady's, Dan Marino's, and whoever else, Creed Humphrey's, all these people, you know, you could have, should have, would have, you know, picked and you didn't. And so there's somebody that comes up all the time that we could have picked instead of Najee. I forget who it is because I'm happy with the Najee pick, but you know, this always comes up. There's somebody that you could have picked that would, you know, statistically perform better.
Did you see that Najee's slimming out?
Oh, he looks so good. Yes.
That is
Le'Veon Bell workout plan.
Really interesting. Like last year he bulked up. This year he's slimming down. I like it. I prefer the slim down. I didn't like the bulk.
I agree.
I think he wanted to be Derrick Henry Jr. And ironically, now you have Derrick Henry's offensive coordinator, so he could have been Derrick Henry Jr. Now, I don't know if he's the next Le'Veon Bell. I'm okay with that. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know what this offense is going to look like. It's fun to just speculate. We got two new quarterbacks. I mean, it's going to be fun because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what kickoffs are going to look like.
This is so much better than last year when we were at this time of year and we were like, but Matt Canada's still there. And Oh, this is so depressing. It doesn't even matter what we do.
Right. We were just saying, it's like, but yeah, like all these great things happened, but we still have Met Canada. And it turned out that to ruin the team. So yeah, this is, I mean, yeah, huge unknown. It could be a disaster. Yeah. It could be awesome. I don't know if it can't be worse than last year. I don't care. No. I don't.
And I think what they did with Practic Queen too, to kind of piggyback on what Leanne said earlier, is they kind of got a Joey Porter guy. You know, Patrick Queen has got a mouth. He is going to run it. And now he kind of becomes that bad guy. You know, and,
he wants that. He wants that. He's been very open about it. He wants that.
Yeah. It's kind of like the, you know, a lot of the people still on the Penguins about, you know, you don't have an enforcer. You don't have that proverbial bad guy. And then you get some of them. I mean, that's just not a Jim Sullivan thing, right? It's not how he likes to have play hockey. But it's glaring to me that they've needed a guy like that over the years. And I think the Steelers, even though TJ Watt's good and you know, you've had other tremendous talent there, they've not had that bad guy. And I always feel like, you know, having that in those years when we were winning the Super Bowls in the early 2000s, that was a big help. So it's great to have a guy like Patrick Queen there. So I think the defense has gotten better. I think they have less holes to plug on defense right now. But you match that with some offensive line tenacity too. And that's the other thing people are saying about Mims. And the other thing about J.C. Latham, too, if you read anything about him, Joe, he's nasty. He's kind of a, you know, one of those guys that, like, remember old Paul Gruber from the Buccaneers? I used to, NFL films used to love to mic him up. He played for some really crappy teams in Tampa Bay and the Creamsicles, but he was a nasty, dirty, deep offensive tackle that, you know, and that's, and the Steelers need that kind of thing there, too. So J.C. Latham, I'd be over the moon if they picked him.
We haven't had a monster at inside linebacker since Shazier. But even before that, when you had, you know, those early 2000s teams with, you know, Joey Porter and you know, just that strength up the middle, you're just a badass team. You're just a better defense when you have it. You just have a strong middle. And, you know, if you could get Minka right and not have him mess around or do what he does best, you could just have a scary middle of the defense. And that's really exciting.
It's so obviously the missing piece of our defense. Do you know what I mean? That was just constantly exploited by whomever we played could pick that apart because we just didn't have anybody there. And I felt pretty good going into last year with Holcomb and Quan Alexander in that role. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I felt like that was a pretty good answer. And, you know, it's a shame that injuries just kind of decimated that position year after year. But because really injury is to blame for Devin Bush, too. I mean, Shazier, Devin Bush, like Holcomb, like, so knock on wood for Patrick Queen. He needs to burn some sage in the inside linebacker room and get rid of the bad juju.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Do yoga.
Take his glucosamine.
Anger yoga.
Yeah.
Angry Trump yoga pose. By Jack Lambert.
Right.
That would be good.
They could do ballet like Lynn Swan used to do.
Yeah, my dad did ballet.
Oh yeah,
for football. Yeah,
they had pictures of them the other day, Joe, because it was like the 35th or 40th or some ridiculous anniversary. Made me feel old. I remember that like it was when Lynn Swan came on Mr. Rogers
and did, I'm like, ballet.
Dad, Lynn Swan's on Mr. Rogers. He's tied his tie. Where? What? You know what I mean?
Right. Lynn, like, Swan. Wait, a football player doing ballet? What? Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. I remember that so well.
So I also remember him jumping over a car. Why don't they have cars in stadiums anymore?
Right.
Man, that was classic Three Rivers. There'd be like an 86 Datsun right down there, right outside the goalpost.
Right. Seriously. Sitting on the sideline.
Bradshaw throws this 50-yard bomb to Lynn Swan. He beats the defenders. He's going for a touchdown. And then he has to leap over a cutlass. And he breaks his tailbone because he literally like leapt over the car, but then he landed wrong. Like, oh my God. I mean, we have cars out here.
Oh, the thing we yinzers embrace from our youth like that.
I remember when somebody took a car and tried to run over Mark Malone, and he ended
Oh,
up
yeah.
smashing into a tub of nacho cheese or something like that.
Yep. I
Oh.
had the fortune of meeting Lou Ferrigno a couple years ago. He was in for Steel City Con. I have a great picture of him. Liam was my son. He was probably 2 at the time. But I have a great picture of the three of us together. And we got there early. There was no fans behind us, so we talked to him for a while. And Yinzer and me had to bring that the episode up where he was in Mr. Rogers. And he said, he said it's probably one of my 5 favorite things I ever did as the Hulk,
Aw.
because he had him and Bill Bixby show, because he didn't want kids to be scared. But they had a, he has a famous thing where Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, he goes to the studio and they show him how it's makeup and they show him, everything. And Lou Ferrigno said that he still has Mr. Rogers' autograph at his home above his mantle. So,
I don't know if I ever saw that. I don't know if I ever saw him.
just
I gotta look for
it's
that.
so funny what us yinzers,
right? Embrace, yeah, and remember.
I mean, we embrace things we like hot rod, like Rod Woodson's Bar and Grill. That just, gone. I can't believe Jerome Bettis didn't like. I guess you could
Yeah,
do everything
Bettis's
you
didn't
did in
last
the
either.
Steelers, but don't like
Hines
them on
Ward had a restaurant in Cranberry that went away.
That
That
went
went away.
away.
Table 86.
I always remember the Rod Woodson restaurant because he was a free agent at the time, or his contract was up, and people said, there's no way he is going to leave. He has a restaurant in Station Square. There's no way he's leaving Pittsburgh.
It's
Like,
downtown.
Rod Woodson's back there flipping burgers or something, or cooking. He's like,
Right.
oh
Yeah,
God,
but you
the
should have
steaks.
known that we're loyal enough if you leave our city and go play somewhere else, and we're all going to give the big middle finger to your restaurant and nobody's going to go eat there.
Nobody's showing up to that restaurant anymore.
No.
Especially, where did he go? Did he go to the Ravens or did he go to
If
he
James
went to the 49ers.
Harrison, if James Harrison had had a restaurant, we would have burnt it down to the ground.
Oh my
Oh
God.
yeah.
Oh God.
When he went to the Patriots.
That picture of James Harrison and Tom Brady still, like, oh my God, that was like,
Yeah, it makes like your heart hurt.
it's like if
Yeah, he went
Superman
to San
joined.
Fran and then Baltimore, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
When James Harrison went to the Patriots, oh,
Yeah, my
that
daughter
just
insulted
hurt.
him on Instagram and she's been blocked ever since. She talked trash about him leaving and he blocked her. I'm like, block a little kid because their heart's broken because you left their team.
Deontay Johnson blocked me. I don't know why, but that's the only
Oh,
damn
that's
block
so
he ever
funny.
threw for in his Steelers career.
Right. Right.
I mean, I did say some pretty nasty things to him, so I deserve to
Yeah,
be blocked. But
probably.
still, it is funny. It is funny
The
that
only enigma is if you drive up to Newcastle, Chuck Tanner's place is still there. It's still called Chuck Tanner's, and you could still go.
Oh,
Yep,
I didn't realize that was still there. I mean,
isn't
Chuck
Chuck
passed away
Tanner?
in what, 2011? But you can still go to Chuck Tanner's in Newcastle.
Isn't he from Newcastle?
Yep, he was from
Oh,
Newcastle.
okay.
Nice.
Yep. So
Okay.
it's,
I had interesting. Interesting.
But yeah, so who knows? They draft JPJ and he opens JPJ's Jack in the Box downtown and there you
See,
go.
if you get JPJ, then you've drafted a JPJ 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I don't
Like
know that Yinzers can handle 2 JPJs.
I
Like, I
don't
am really
know.
worried that like the segment of our population that drinks a lot of Iron City will not be able to handle 2 people with the same initials on the team. It's going to mess them all up.
JPJ squared,
Yeah.
JPJ two,
They'll have
and
to
then
call him something else.
JPJ
Oh,
two.
yeah.
JPJ,
Like,
one or two.
Ran Pran, Pran, Bran, Grand, Grand, whatever the heck
Right.
his name is. Like, we gotta call him something else.
Or like how in a family where they have like a son and a father that have the same name and they call them like Big Mike and Little Mike, so maybe you can do like Big JPJ and Little JPJ or something.
Well, this JPJ from Oregon, it's six, what, 6'6"? He'd be the big one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he'd be the big one. He's a
Yeah,
big dude.
they're different body types. That's for sure.
Yep.
All right, guys, this is fun. As the draft turns, we have about 3 more weeks of draft speculation, and it's just going to get more and more interesting until draft night. That's for sure.
Crazy.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Liam. See ya.